Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final hour of Grant and Danny. Our buddy Devontae Smith, Pelly of the Capitals, is on the show at 1:30 today. Can't wait to talk to DSP about their meeting with the Bruins. Fists could fly after some bad blood in the first meeting between the two teams on opening night. But right now, a guy we would never throw fists with, although you want him on your side if you were getting into a brouhaha. And that is Charles Davis of Fox and NFL Media. You see him on NFL Network during the pre-draft season. I guess your workload just got a little bit more extensive with your boy Mike Mayock getting a GM job, Charles.
Well, we'll see about that. Who knows? It wouldn't bother me at all for it to become more extensive, but have to wait and see how that gets assessed. I guarantee Daniel Jeremiah's workload definitely got more extensive, and that's a very good thing because he's terrific as well. But we're going to miss Mike, but I am really, really happy for him. This is something he's been prepping for a long time. I know we all saw him on television, but what people didn't see behind the scenes, and I was in no position, and it wasn't my place to talk about it, but I saw Mike working with people, talking to people, learning from people, teaching people. You know, what's that old scene in, Scent of a Woman, when Al Pacino said, "If there are any oaths to be taken, I'd like to be read in." You remember that? They're like, There's no oaths here at this school, sir. And he's like, oh, well, let me tell you something. If there are oaths to be read, for people to be read in the GM world, in the scouting world, Mike's been read in for a long time. So this is just now an official part of what's going on. And he's worked his butt off for this opportunity, and he's earned it as far as I'm concerned. And yes, I say that with full bias because I consider him one of my best friends.
Well, it's a cool thing, and I'm happy for him. And I know it's neat for everyone in the media that, you know, has any kind of an interest in learning and talking about football, and when someone makes that transition. Let's go through the four games of the division round with you. We'll end with your game, the Eagles and the Saints, the Sunday tilt in New Orleans. But first, Saturday, everything gets started. Matinee, 4:35 at Arrowhead. The Chiefs haven't quite been the same offensively without Kareem Hunt. And, of course, the Colts have won 10 of their last 11. Andrew Luck's a great story, and Marlon Mack is rolling. What's your first thought on this game when you think about 11-6 Indy at 12-4 Kansas City?
I think this one I boil down to the essence of the game. I hear Bear Bryant speaking right now with that great mumble that he had, that gravelly voice that made you lean in to catch every word. And don't think for a second he didn't do that on purpose either. This is very simply rush theirs, protect yours. Because that's what it comes down to. Andrew Luck has been protected the best in terms of sacks given up of any quarterback in the league this year. They gave up 18, which is really unusual when we talk about the Colts, isn't it? But they led the league. They were ahead of the New Orleans Saints, who were perennially on top of that. And the Chiefs, they haven't stopped anyone, the best we can see all year, but their stock in trade is to make key plays, and they are tied for first with Pittsburgh in the number of sacks this year. So that's where this game boils down. Can Kansas City affect Luck at all? And if so, a few extra possessions from Mahomes, that should be enough for Kansas City to win. But they're going to have to create those possessions. And I'll just need takeaways, you know, getting off the field on third down, sacks, all that sort of stuff. We'll see how this one turns out.
Charles, Cowboys-Rams game here, and our buddy Charles Davis is with us here on Grant and Danny. Obviously, the Cowboys, if you know Jerry Jones sneezes, it's a story for 6 weeks. So all the attention's on them. But I want to focus on the Rams, one of the best teams in football for most of the year. The analogy I use is like a boxer who's in control for 13 rounds, and the challenger just comes with a tiger uppercut like Chicago did in week 14, and they got staggered by that. And they were not the same team down the stretch. Are they primed for an upset here with the way the Cowboys are playing great defense?
Well, before I even answer that, when you guys get a chance, I want you to go back and Google. You ready?
Yeah.
Mike Weaver, Big John Tate, heavyweight boxing match, wow, probably would go back into the 80s, I'm guessing. All right. It happened in Knoxville, Tennessee, at Stokely Athletic Center, where I went to school. And exactly as you just described, Big John Tate, fighting out of Knoxville, had a home match. Place was going crazy. He literally pitched a shutout. That's back when we went 15 rounds, guys. Okay, so when they looked at the cards after the fight was over, he had pitched a 14-round shutout. And in the 15th, Weaver hits him with this shot. And the place is going berserk. You can hear him going, Big John Tate, Big John. Then the next thing you see, you hear is this big thud as he hits the deck. And he was out before he hit the ground. I don't even think the official even counted to 10. And the next thing I remember hearing was someone screaming from the rafters, get up.
Oh, man.
So would you guys get a chance, check that out. Because that's your analogy for this one. You know, coming off the pace, getting rocked. But I think that in this case, the Rams got their footing back underneath them, guys. They got their legs back. And they did it in the last two games of the year. And I know I can hear everyone saying, okay, big deal. It was Arizona and San Francisco. I get all that. My crew did the Arizona game. So what we got to see was, yes, they beat up on a team that wasn't very good. But they did it by executing again. Okay, they were running the football effectively with C.J. Anderson. That was his, those were his first carries since November 8th, and I think they packed him in ice for the flight home because I think he ran for about 167. And he was like, where in the heck did this come from? Because Gurley was out. They used a lot of two tight formations, a lot of tight packages, had wide receivers blocking at the line of scrimmage, stuff they hadn't shown all year long. The jet sweep motion, of course, was in play. They threw it effectively with Goff, and they did that again against San Francisco. Don't get fooled by the final score in that game. I believe they were up 41 or 48-17. So don't get fooled. They pounded them, okay? So this team has finally got it back together. Where this game boils down to me, guys, is Zeke's going to run it. That's the Cowboys' best thing because Dak needs to throw off a play action. But you know what else has to happen? The Rams' defensive front, which is so used to rushing the passer, can they play the run? Will they play the run? How many times have you watched the Rams this year and seen Ndamukong Suh somewhere near the quarterback on a running play and the running back's running past him? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He wants to go get the quarterback. Will he stand in there and be stout? Because if so, then I think the Rams are in pretty good shape in this one.
Game one on Sunday, 105 kick at Foxborough for the Chargers at the Patriots. L.A. is looking for a second road win in as many weeks. Chargers rank third in offense, second in defense. Patriots ninth and 20th, respectively. I know New England is 11-5 in the home team, but there's an easy case to be made. They're not the better team in this game, are they, Charles?
I don't think so. And I think that if we were able to strip away who was playing, who would we say is the better team going into this one?
Oh, if you took Belichick and Brady out of it, it's the Chargers.
Right? No question. Belichick, Brady, and Foxborough.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they got a week off. And we've seen it how many times we've started to shovel dirt on them, and they've risen and said, not so fast, and gone to another Super Bowl. There's a reason we're all hesitant. History has shown us to be hesitant. I'm going in with the Chargers. I think this is their time. I think for Phillip Rivers, it's the old, if not now, when. And he's got the better football team. I know they're 0-7 against Brady, et cetera, et cetera. I know all the numbers. The numbers always hold up until the day they don't hold up. This could be that time. I'm taking the Chargers in an upset going to Foxborough because I think that defense is going to make enough plays. And for the first time in a long time, I don't know that New England has playmakers on defense. Not enough of them as we're used to seeing. So I really think Derwin James, Desmond King in the middle, Ingram and Bosa rushing off the edges. They're going to get Brandon Mebane back to help with the run game. I think if Phillip Rivers plays the style he played against Baltimore and maybe a little bit extra, being able to throw it downfield a little bit more, I think the Chargers have a heck of a chance to win this game, and I'm picking them.
Charles, let's get to your game. Philly at New Orleans. Stop me if you've heard this before, but a team that was great all season long on paper should win the game. But Philadelphia is the other team, and Nick Foles is their quarterback. Have we seen that script play out before? How does Philly do it? What's the key for them to pull this upset? They have the largest largest predicted deficit here, according to Vegas.
Yeah.
How do they do it?
Well, I think that part of what you have to remember is that 48-7 loss that was so humbling for Philadelphia, and they left at 4-6. And let's be frank, we all thought they were pretty much done at that point, right? We knew there was a mathematical way, but did any of us expect them to be able to pull it out? They looked beat up. They looked dispirited. They looked out of sync. They looked everything. You're just thinking, there's no chance. And they had a bunch of guys playing for them in the secondary that you couldn't have pulled out of a lineup if they gave you 100 chances prior to. Well, all those guys have been around for a while now. I mean, think about who's on the IR list for them. All right, Rodney McLeod, starting safety. Jalen Mills, starting corner. Right? Ronald Darby, starting corner. They're all on IR. So guys like Cravon LeBlanc, Avante Maddox, Rasul Douglas, well, that day they were not very good. They weren't ready to go. They've gotten better and better. I'm not saying they're better than the guys they've replaced, but they're confident now. They're cohesive now. They know all the calls. They're comfortable being on the field, and they've actually made a few plays. That play LeBlanc made when no one recovered the ball against Chicago turned it into an incomplete pass when it should have been a completion because of his hustle. So I think that this Philadelphia team has gotten healthier. And one place that we haven't talked about much is Tim Jernigan, the defensive tackle coming back, because their run defense was getting gashed, guys. Jernigan gets back. I know he came back, went away for a while. But when he's on the field, he takes snaps off of Haloti Ngata. And Ngata can be 390 years old, guys, and we'll still have trouble moving him off a three technique. Okay, that's just who he is. So give him extra rest and a little fresher. He's going to be even more of a force in the run game. And with him there, Jernigan there, you know what that means. That means Fletcher Cox is freed up a little bit more for one-on-ones. So they've gotten better that way. And, of course, the Foles magic has kicked in. The team believes in him. And, look, there's a myth out there that Carson Wentz didn't connect with Alshon Jeffrey. That's not true. If you look at the numbers, they had their connection. Are the numbers better with Foles? Yes. And our eyes tell us that somehow they have a better connection and it's working, and they need to continue to ride that as much as possible because Alshon Jeffrey's playing with extreme confidence right now.
Charles Davis, always outstanding. We always learn and get ready for football when he is on the hotline. We appreciate it. We'll be watching you on Sunday, buddy.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. And last thing, I know we don't talk about it much. Both teams starting left tackles. Can they run the distance in this game? Tron Armstead's been dinged.
Yep.
Jason Peters has started every game, but he hadn't finished all of them. And both of them have pass rushers that can bother them. Bennett for the Eagles and Brandon Graham. And then you flip over the other side, and Cam Jordan moves around looking for a matchup. That could be fun to watch.
I'm going to go read about Mike Weaver, Big John Tate right now. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you, Charles.
Unbelievable. Just need to hit the deck, guys. Unreal. That's be good, awesome. Guys.
We'll see
you,
pal.
Appreciate it. I'll be chatting with you tonight when I'm playing Madden and you're talking to me. There's Charles Davis on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Devontae Smith-Pelly at 1:30. Let's get the latest. Any news and notes on the Redskins coming out of the park today? We will hunt for those nuggets right now.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. Devontae Smith-Pelly, bottom of the hour, Caps Bruins tonight. Looking forward to chatting with DSP. News of the day in D.C. is that the Nationals have a new starting second baseman, Brian Dozier. Longtime Minnesota Twin, finished last year in Los Angeles. Played deep into the postseason. League Championship Series with the Dodgers. He will be a National at $9 million for 1 year this season, and he'll start in their infield, presumably. Allows them to wait on top prospect Carter Kieboom's development. Not have to force him into the starting lineup earlier in the year if something were to happen with Howie Kendrick's recap. But let's get to the Redskins for a moment. Nothing brewing today. Big story last night was Ben Kotwicka left. There are some names being banted about on the defensive staff that could be changing. Start with Kotwicka. Is this a big loss at all, do you think, in that when you and I said he's a guy you should try to keep, Here was the case that we made. Your kicker had a really good season. Your punter had a really good season. You've got an outstanding long snapper. And the coverage was okay and the return game was okay. Well, the kicker is not going to get worse because of a special teams coach. Nor will Tressway the punter. I don't think anything Kutweka is doing necessarily schematically is making those two guys good at kicking and punting.
Right, because we asked Tressway about strategy. He's like, just kick it as far and high as I can, dude.
Sundberg's snap time is not going to change.
Yeah.
So those strengths with the new special teams coach are still going to be guys you can count on, you would think.
But it's about coverage. It's about preventing disaster, et cetera.
But they weren't statistically great in any of those areas, really. And again, I think Kutweka, good, solid coach, did a good job, former military guy, like him a lot, met him a few times. You met him at training camp.
Yes.
I know you were impressed by him.
Really impressive.
Seems like a cool dude. But if you look at their numbers, and I can pull them up for you right now in terms of coverage last year, so when they were actually returning kicks and punts, their average was punt return average 25th out of 32 teams, kick return average 30th out of 32 teams.
Yeah, sounds right to me.
Bottom 7th in the NFL in their return game. In terms of covering kicks and punts, I'm sure they were better, but here it is. 15th in kick return average, middle of the pack, 24th in punt return average. So those were not strengths,
not
calling
banners.
Cards. The Redskins allowed him to talk to the Falcons for a reason, right? I mean, they weren't hell-bent on keeping him, it doesn't seem like.
Here's how I view this. If you were only looking at the news story, hey, special teams coordinator left one team to join another team, right? Where you go, Danny Smith left Washington to go to Pittsburgh because that's where he's from, or he's got a friend in Atlanta, or his family wants to go there. On its face, just that much, not a big deal. Not to diminish special teams, but that's not the end of the world. That's not the sky is falling. That's not any reason to say anything other than, hey, here's a news item to pass along. They lost their special teams coordinator. They'll be in the market for a new one. Those guys change teams constantly. I think in the grand scheme of things, in the big picture, with everything that happened really starting from November on through the end of the year and in the now, it is a big deal. You lost a quality person. You lost a quality guy that was good at his job. That's a bigger deal to me. Because he wanted to go. He wanted out. I don't know that that's a great sign for everybody. I need guys that are good at what they do to be happy, to feel like they're going to grow. That's how good companies work, let alone a good football operation. I want the guys that are sharp over there. I want Kyle Smith and Eric Schaefer and the smart dudes to feel like there's a future here, not just some glass ceiling that ends near Bruce's office because he's going to roll you under the bus the second it's convenient for him.
To me, that's a huge problem with this organization.
And that's, to me, a big deal here because, again, am I going to lose sleep because they don't have Ben Kutweka? No. He's I think, pretty good, probably. I couldn't tell you the nuances of special teams, but it seemed like he was fine. Guys responded to him well, et cetera, et cetera. I want him to not want to leave. Does that make sense?
Yes.
If he's going for another special teams gig, I want him to want to be here. I can't blame him for not wanting to be here.
But I think people can relate to this in their own lives. You've had opportunities, I'm sure, to leave here at different points since you got here in 2009, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you said, I like it there. I think I'm growing. I think I'm becoming closer to where I want to end up. I'm making progress. I'm making more money or I'm getting better opportunities or whatever it was. I had opportunities to leave, and I felt like this was a better situation in terms of my growth and my development. Like, you think about it. You started doing a couple of night shows here and there,
yep,
as a comedian who's a big sports fan with Holden, right?
Yeah.
And then you turn that into being with Holden every night,
uh-huh,
and then being with Bill Rowland, and next thing you know, you're hosting in middays, and now you're a mainstay on 106.7 The Fan.
Absolutely.
Same thing. I started out as an assistant to a beat reporter, became the beat reporter, then got a chance to do a daily show. There's an opportunity here where, you know, if AWOD wants to do his Christmas miracle, he can do it. Thommy gets his opportunities with Crashing the Net. Like, you want to work somewhere where you're going to get chances, where you're going to continue to grow, and you're going to get to go somewhere closer to whatever your end game is. Everybody's is different. Whatever you're looking,
right,
for. Take Kyle Smith, for example. I always wonder this. What is Kyle Smith working toward? Like, people always say, well, he could be the general manager. Could he be? I mean, you can't name him the general manager with Doug Williams in his current role. I guess he could take over for Doug Williams, but where is Doug Williams going? Like, you don't have a lot of upward movement if you're him right now. And all these other teams supposedly like him, and all these people around the league supposedly like Kyle Smith, and you're running the college scouting department, but you're not running the free agency pile. You're not running the pro department. That's Doug Williams, who's supposedly kind of running both, and you answer to Doug Williams. So where is your growth? That's how you lose a guy like that, and he becomes John Schneider or Trent Baalke, very successfully running another organization. Eric Schaefer is another good example.
Yeah.
Everyone has nothing but nice things to say about Eric Schaefer, who's been in a couple different roles over the years. But where can he go? Is he going to ever get to become a team president? Is he going to get a promotion or more money at some point? I do think that's kind of an issue with their current structure right now, where if you say, who are the best people we have in our building and what is the future for them, I'm not really sure that there's an obvious future. Unless you're saying Eric Schaefer has a chance to become GM, and you and I both know that's not happening. Because as long as Bruce Allen's there, they ain't naming a GM that's actually a GM.
Yeah, not while old Brucey's in town.
Same to their top scouting mind, Kyle Smith.
But so that's why
it's
I go
a thing, man.
Again, that's why I go big picture. It's more important than just the individual loss of a coach. Like, you move on from a secondary coach. These guys change all the time. All the time. It's the big changes, coordinator spots, assistant head coach, big deal. They control so much. Position guys, you know, the linebackers coach moves to a different opportunity because he sees maybe more of an inroad to get a further advance in his career, or wants to work for a different defensive coordinator to learn a different scheme, to figure out what his scheme is going to be if and when he becomes the guy in charge of a defensive room. Those things minor. Again, special teams coordinator moving, not a huge deal. Bigger picture, though, that's where I come down on this, is that absolutely is a big deal. That a guy that made a 100% lateral move, who's a good dude, who everybody respects, wanted out. And if you look at some of the other reports that are coming out, other guys that are pretty good at their gig, they want out too.
Coaches that leave New England or Green Bay or Pittsburgh, you know, the organizations, even with all the drama right now with the Steelers that you'd like to try to model, they're normally not laterally going for the exact same job just to get to a different building.
Mm-hmm.
They're moving up. They were a special teams coach, and now maybe they're still a special teams coach, but they're also the associate head coach.
People that leave Washington, that leave Oakland, that have left Cleveland in the past, they are passing it backwards. That's lateral.
Get me out of here.
Yeah, I need to go.
I'll try another way.
Yeah.
We're Grant and Danny, DSP of the Caps. Next, we can preview that game. Also, get you some of the best audio we've heard from around the NFL as we continue on The Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Before we get out of here, we will look ahead to the 4 playoff games coming up this weekend as we wrap up this Thursday installment of Grant and Danny in the next half hour. Biggest story in D.C. sports tonight will be the Capitals and the Bruins. Could be some fireworks between Washington and Boston. Good little rivalry between a quality team leading the Metro and the Caps, your defending champions, and a team out of the Atlantic that looks playoff-bound again. Devontae Smith-Pelly joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. What's up, DSP?
Hey, how are you guys?
We're doing great, buddy. We got to highlight this thing. Something really cool that you and John Carlson did. A 13-year-old defenseman for an Odenton-based Metro Maple Leafs. Went through some adversity, some racist taunts, and you guys did something really nice for him. Can you tell us about how you heard about it and what inspired you guys to do what you did?
I think we heard about it. It was making its rounds on Twitter. So the day we saw it, you know, Carly saw it. I saw it, obviously, and he kind of had the idea maybe we should invite, you know, Divine and his teammates into to see a game. So we thought it was important to, not only invite Divine to come in, but also to invite, the whole team, seeing as they stood up for their teammate.
And something that you've dealt with, I know, I'm sure, coming up and playing hockey as well. I remember when Joel Ward was here with the Capitals, he had some issues even in the NHL as a veteran who had great playoff moments. It's something that, as much as we'd like to think hockey players don't have to deal with in 2019, now that they still do, what kind of message do you send to him when you talk to him or any other young athletes who are coming up that don't look like most of the hockey players in their locker room?
I think the main message I try and pass on in this situation is, you know, for every one, be careful with my words, one dummy is out there that's, you know, being ignorant, you know, there's a bunch of people that don't feel that way and care about you and have your back. So, you know, when that happened to me, when I was in the dressing room, kind of upset about it, my team had my back, and the same thing went for Dwayne. I mean, you know, they went out there and fought for him. So, you know, he can go into that room and see, you know, these guys have my back, and not everyone thinks that way.
And that's not hyperbolic. They did get in a fight, end up getting disqualified from this tournament they were in because they started a massive brawl, rightfully so, in that third period. So I think it's a classy gesture at DSP. I think it's awesome that you guys were able to do that. And how was the experience for Dwayne and his teammates?
Well, it's actually going to be on the 14th.
Oh, it's coming up. Nice.
Yeah, it hasn't happened yet. So they're coming in on the 14th, and so we'll meet the team and them at that game. And, you know, hopefully they enjoy it.
That's cool. That's awesome. Good for you guys. Tonight you guys play the Bruins. The last time you played Boston, I don't know if you remember this or not, wink, wink, you guys beat them 7-0. And in that game, Lars Eller got jumped by Brad Marchand. Is there going to be a little payback tonight, do you think, with Willie back on the ice?
I don't know. It's been a while. No, we don't want to.
But you have not played them since. And we did talk last week about the next time you play them. It's still okay.
This would be the next time.
Yeah. I don't really know. You know, it's not something that we're in the dressing room kind of talking about it. And, you know, if anyone feels that they didn't like how that went down last time and they want to solve it, they can. I mean, no one's stopping them. And once that happens, if it does happen, we move on and play. I mean, we definitely don't want to be running around taking penalties and putting that team on the power play. So if it happens, so be it. And if not, we're just going to play.
I'm just going to tell you my opinion on Brad Marchand for a second. I think he's the pits. I can't stand him.
We hate that guy.
He is a scumbag. Now, I will say this. I think he's ultra-talented. I think he's a great hockey player. And some of these guys, like Ryan Reeves, can kick rocks because he's not that good of a hockey player. The fact is, I think Marchand's actually really, really good. But I would say, like, non-criminal, bad human being, evil heart division, he's probably my least favorite person on the planet. And I'm wondering for you, if you're putting together a list of, like, the NHL players that you hate the most, would he make it, or do you not have the same vitriol toward him just because he's good?
I don't know. I don't really have an opinion on those antics. He's never done anything to me personally. I mean, he's obviously a good player. Yeah, I mean, he's a good player. That's it.
But, like, this guy has, like, a 6-minute YouTube clip of him slew-footing people, and he's licked multiple guys in the face.
So much licking.
What if he licked you in the face?
I don't know. I wouldn't be too happy about that. But yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, like I said, he's never done anything to me. Obviously, you see and hear some of the things he's doing. Those kind of things happen. Guys do that. He's a good player, and just leave it at that, you know?
Yeah. The SP with us here on Grant and Danny for his weekly spot. You guys, little 3-game swoon, followed by two back-to-back wins, rather, against the Red Wings and the Flyers. Just to me, people underestimate, man, how much of a grind that is. With the NBA and with what you guys do on a nightly basis, the travel and everything else, is that just kind of a little 3-game swoon, and you guys feel like you're back on track?
Yeah, I mean, it happens to every team. You know, the key was not letting it move into 4, 5, 6 games in a row. So, you know, we had our little 3-game mini slide, and you know, we've all been around long enough to know that's obviously going to happen, and it was just time to kind of put a stop to it at 3 and kind of get the ball moving in the right direction again.
I did hear, I have a buddy of mine who works at a mall near where you live, and he said that he saw you going to the Guitar Center yesterday to buy some new strings and maybe to tune up that guitar. It sounds like the guitar is ready to be played tonight, perhaps, huh, Devontae?
God, I hope so. I mean, we're getting into monkey off the back territory here, so I don't know.
We are. We're getting into slump buster territory where you just got to walk into a bar and see if anybody's there, and it doesn't matter what they look like. But don't you worry, my friend. The guitar,
it will be played.
I heard the strings that you purchased were very good strings, and I think that it's going to make pretty music.
I hope so, too. I hope so.
Thanks, man. Appreciate
we'll see you,
the
buddy.
Time.
Thanks, guys.
There's DSP on Grant and Danny.
Because usually what happens is, guy comes on Grant and Danny, guy does something awesome the next day or that night. Usually with the Nationals, you know, like the two-homer game.
I was going to say, for the Nats, yes. We don't know really what it happens with the Capitals.
Max Scherzer comes on, he wins the Cy Young. Max Scherzer doesn't come on, he doesn't win the Cy Young. All we have is correlation.
Correlation?
That's all we have. But like Zim will come on, hit a bolt, you know, that night.
It's
or
starting to get
Rendon
very awkward, though, for us.
Yeah.
Because we said to him, this was our idea, hey, you're on a little bit of a heater. Next time you score, why don't you just celebrate with a guitar playing? Okay, no problem.
He's been over since.
Over.
Yeah.
And I think we're up to 7 weeks. I mean, it's definitely
it's like 19
been a while.
Games, yeah.
I'll pull it real quick.
I don't know the total number. But my suggestion was to go down to one knee and pretend you had an anti-aircraft missile and go throop and make a sound like a missile was launching.
He was
and that
correctly,
was too much.
Utterly unwilling to do that.
He didn't want to do that.
So Devontae Smith-Pelly's last goal was November 21st, right before Thanksgiving against the Blackhawks.
Oh, man.
And when we had him on right after that, he had scored 3 times in a span of like 8 games.
This is not good for the Caps or for being a Caps fan, but let's say that this streak maybe goes till March. When he finally hits it and plays that guitar, we're going to celebrate like they just won the Stanley Cup again.
It's 21 games by my quick count. That's a lot of games.
It's uncomfortable for him. It's also really uncomfortable for us.
More than a quarter of the season.
We would just like this to end so that we are not jinxing Devontae
Smith. Just get around
the
net, tip one in. And get credit for one. Knock it off a skate.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Stretch run of Grant and Danny. Chad Dukes versus the world at 2 today. A lot to podcast if you are into good audio and entertaining radio after hours tonight sometime. Well, no problem. How about you grab our interview with Charles Davis, Fox NFL Sunday. He's on the call of the Saints and the Eagles with Kevin Burkhart on Sunday. Of course, you could also listen to our interview with Ross Tucker from today as well.
Yeah.
And Devontae Smith-Pelly of the Capitals just joined us. TheFanDC.com, GrantandDanny.com. /audio. Time to spin you around the NFL. Remember when Cliff Kingsbury was just the coach of Texas Tech?
Yeah.
Back in October?
I remember
he was asked about a player in his conference, Kyler Murray, and at that time, whether or not Murray would make a good NFL quarterback. And Kingsbury said not only would he make a good quarterback, but he said this about Kyler Murray.
Kyler is, he's a freak, man. Purdy's a really good young player, and he's going to be a tremendous player, but Kyler.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As a freak, and I've followed him since he was a sophomore in high school, and just think the world of him and what he can do on a football field. And I've never seen one better in high school, and he's starting to show it now at the college level. And I don't have enough good things to say about him. He's phenomenal. I've never seen him have a poor outing, not one, which a quarterback, it's impossible to do, but he's done it. And I don't know. I'd take him with the first pick of the draft if I could. I know he's signed up to play baseball, but he is a dominant football player, and I would take him with the first pick.
Here's why that quote's interesting and why it matters from KLBK-TV. Cliff Kingsbury now has the first pick in the draft.
Now you can, Clifford.
He's the head coach of the Cardinals, but he's there to help out Josh Rosen. To me, this is a non-story. This is nothingness. He was brought in to fix Josh Rosen.
Right.
They're not going to be drafting a quarterback. But it is at least fun to listen to that audio now and say, well, now you have the number one overall pick, even though he's not the guy probably making the pick.
It's not cool right now to be a Josh Rosen guy after everything went really bad this year. I'm still a Josh Rosen guy. I think that guy will be okay. I think they need a complete and utter reboot of everything that they were doing down there in Arizona, including not running David Johnson right into the buttocks of interior guards on straight-ahead dive plays. I think they will be better eventually. I don't know if Kingsbury's the guy or not, but I still like Rosen more than everybody else seems to.
At his introductory press conference, as you'd expect, Cliff Kingsbury praised and just heaped roses all over Josh Rosen. He also said, We're going to make him comfortable because I'm bringing the college offensive system to the league.
I think that's going to be the exciting part for me. I think as you've watched the trends of the NFL and college football has infiltrated that, there's a lot of similar concepts to what we've done on the college level that are being widely used and really successful in the league right now. And so I'm anxious to get in with a bunch of experienced offensive coaches and kind of mesh things together and come up with the best product we can come up with. But I do think there's a lot of things that we do or we did at Texas Tech that can be successful.
Kingsbury from his introductory presser, there have been six of those. Matter of fact, the sixth will be conducted here soon, but over the last 48 hours. Let's talk NFL playoffs. There are still eight teams standing, four representing the NFC. One of them, the Dallas Cowboys. Jason Garrett has a team that's pretty young and positioned to get to an NFC title game for the first time since 95. He thinks the fact that they stunk through about a month and change of the season is the best thing that happened to Dallas.
Well, I think we have good players, and I think they've learned from their experiences quickly. I think if you look at our season early on, we're an inconsistent football team. You know, we won one, we lost one, we won one, we lost one. I think we were inconsistent from week to week and inconsistent within games. And you preach the importance of consistency and mental toughness till you're blue in the face, but sometimes you have to have some experiences. And, we had some real-life experiences that weren't very favorable, but I do think we learned from them. And we're able to build on some of the good things we did early in the year. And I think we're able to learn from some of the negative experiences. And that's what's most important.
Garrett might be one win away from a lifetime contract to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
That's something we have discussed internally. And by discussed, I mean I've thought about it.
His quarterback is Dak Prescott. A lot of people say Prescott is not worthy of building this thing around for the next 10 to 12 years, of extending and paying $100-plus million to. Dak doesn't care about that.
Something I've never really cared too much about looking into. I mean, obviously, I know the only thing that matters is what I do and what I can do to get better. And that's just being around these guys, my teammates and all that. And what people have to say, that write or talk or anything like that, doesn't serve me anything once it comes to getting on the field.
I like him better than a lot of people do. And I don't mean personally because I hate him because he plays for the Dallas Cowboys. But, I mean, in terms of quarterbacking, there's just enough. He's not a world beater. If you ask him to throw 45 times a game, drop back straight up and beat people, he's not going to do that. There's a lot of classic quarterback that won't do that. There are only a handful of guys on this planet. But you saw what happened when he got a legitimate weapon in Amari Cooper. All of a sudden, he got better. Weird how that goes. You give guys good weapons and good access to things, they improve.
Cowboys, Rams, prime time, 8:15 East time. Troy Aikman, Joe Buck on the call. In Los Angeles. Before that game on Saturday, the AFC tilt might be better. Colts, Chiefs, Eric Ebron caught 66 balls and 13 touchdowns this past season. Ebron is getting a chance, like many of his teammates at 25 years old, to play in a game he's been dreaming about his whole life.
Throughout that whole game, I just kind of felt like maybe because we played them three times, it just kind of felt like, you know, like it was just a game. It was just another game. And really, honestly, I hope that's how it feels throughout the rest of this time that we're in the playoffs. You know, no stages really, you know, gets that big. So hopefully we just maintain that and just feel like another game. We're not there and just execute it the way we should.
If the Colts are going to upset the Chiefs at Arrowhead, one of the toughest places in football to play because it is as loud as anywhere outside of Seattle, T.Y. Hilton's going to have to make a couple of huge plays. A 1,200-yard receiver in Indianapolis this year, 76 catches, who scored six times, averages about 17 yards a pop. He and Andrew Luck have been on the same page over the last few seasons, and it's not a coincidence. Hilton's numbers got right back up to that Pro Bowl level as soon as Luck returned.
We know each other pretty much well, so we look to each other after every play. You know, is it on the field, off the field, on the sideline? You know, we always communicate. Always a head nod, you know, a thumbs up or something. And we always seem to know what each other's thinking.
I'm not sure who the finalists are because I don't track this sort of thing very well, but I know this. The Colts GM, Chris Ballard, should win Executive of the Year.
He was
as far
great.
As I'm concerned. He took a guy that everyone universally hated in Detroit, in Eric Ebron. They were so tired of his act, he had the second most touchdowns in the sport.
Why did they have a GM anyway? Why did they name a general manager? And why is that general manager competent when it comes to evaluating football talent?
Well, Grant, you're...
What are they trying to prove?
Well, it's not necessarily proving anything. It's just, it's what's called, this is an industry term, it's called best practice.
So best I don't practice. Understand. So they're having a good practice?
No. It just means
they like all took the field to get ready for the game?
On a consistent basis, they're a practice. You're trying to do the thing that's what's called the best idea every day. And that's what that is to have a real GM in charge of things.
You know who else has a real front office?
Who's that?
Their opponent, the Chiefs.
Oh, happy I did it in something.
Yeah, they do. They're really good. Here's the thing. The Chiefs fans are nervous, and rightfully so. They don't do well in this setting, whatever it is, for whatever reason. Over the course of years and years and years, going back in 1995, where they had home field advantage, 13-3, 97 home field advantage, 13-3, 2003, 13-3. You get where I'm going with this. They've lost this game. They lost in the divisional round, lost in the wild card round, despite having home field advantage all the time. Their record at Arrowhead is bad. Something has happened to them, and they're hoping it doesn't happen this year.
One of the big reasons I can't wait to watch this game is Pat Mahomes, obviously. 50 touchdowns, 12 picks, a 113 rating, 5,000 yards. He had one of the best quarterback seasons we've ever seen before and one of the great offenses we've ever seen. But it's how he goes about it, how much fun he has. He just looks like he's a kid playing on a youth field. He talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you have to love the game. I mean, we're so fortunate that we're able to be in this position. We're fortunate that we're able to play a sport that we love for a living. And, I mean, just go out there and have fun. I mean, you want to be even killed. You want to make sure you're never too high and never too low. But at the same time, you have to love this game and love everything about it.
Don't make your pick because we'll do it tomorrow. But do you expect the Colts to give the Chiefs all they can handle? Or do you think Kansas City shows up like they did early in the year and just dominates?
In my gut, I think it's different now. It's mostly because of Mahomes. Now, granted, first-time quarterbacks don't tend to thrive in that sort of environment. It's a tough one. I think the page has turned. I think this is now the new era. I think the Colts, thanks for being here. We appreciate a great run you guys had. Future's bright, a lot of salary cap space. It's the Chiefs' time.
We both think the game of the weekend is going to be played in the early window on Sunday at 1:05 local time when the Chargers, second time in 2 weeks on the road East Coast, coming cross-country to play at 10 a.m. their time, take on the Patriots. Phil Rivers has died by this sword before. He has had it stabbed into his chest, and he doesn't want it to happen again.
Both of those were obviously tough finishes, but you know, we got another opportunity. This team, you know, it's really about this team, and we have a chance. Again, we're one of eight that are alive, and like I said last week, somebody's going to win it. You know, somebody's going to win it, so we have a chance to get one step closer. And you know, again, it's a heck of a challenge, but they all are.
I know I'm a broken record, and I know people are tired of hearing this. I love me some Phil Rivers.
You're a Phil Rivers guy?
And I want Phil Rivers to win a Super Bowl. He has been great for a long time, and he gets no credit for it. I'm riding with Phil Rivers this postseason.
What if Phil Rivers played in Cleveland? Would you be able to contain yourself?
Oh, Cleveland Browns, Philip Rivers Paulson?
Cleveland Rivers Paulson.
Yeah. It's been good, DC.
Kid name idea, Cleveland Rivers Paulson.
Cleveland Rivers Paulson's pretty good.
Huh?
It's been good, DC. Let's see if they got any openings over on 92.7 The Fan. Because we got some Browns football and some Phil Rivers to get to the bottom of. Chad Dukes versus the world is up next.
Got a great thing going on today on CDBTW. Baseball Dukes is in. Why did Brian Dozier's average dip even further in L.A. when he was a part-time player? Can we expect a bounce back, contact rate, hard, soft, etc.? Dukes knows everything.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.